Here It Comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, and we are going to put a spotlight on the Southwest. This show is made possible in part due to the generous support of the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies, and we are most appreciative of their support. We are indeed going to put a big, bright spotlight on the Southwest for this show because we have as our guest Kimber Lanning. She is the executive director and the force behind an ever-expanding statewide organization called Local First Arizona and a board member for the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies, known as BALI. And that's what we're going to call it because I'm not saying Business Alliance for Local Living Economies every time. And it is all about building local economies by connecting leaders, spreading solutions, and attracting investments towards local economies. BALI advances the localist movement to create real prosperity for all. And I underline that, real prosperity for all. They invest in communities and it stays. Their annual conference is coming to Phoenix next month. And we are very fortunate to have Kimber joining us to share a little bit. I asked her if she would share a bit about Local First because it's such an amazing organization in Arizona. And then talk about BALI and the incredible, ever-expanding impact it's having and why we should all care. Why we should care and why we should become informed about the work of Local First. And just a little bit, I like to have guests that I know and love on the show and like try to embarrass them a little bit. But Kimber, words to describe her are thought leader, passionate, get things done kind of person, visionary. And she is all that, and she makes things happen, and she's really, with all of the sometimes not so good news about Arizona, if you look and put your focus on Local First Arizona, there's only good things happening. So, Kimber, I'm so pleased that you took the time to be on Mrs. Green's World Down to Earth show.
Well, thank you so much for hosting me. I appreciate it.
You know, I have a three-part question that you can answer in your sleep, and I can repeat it, but I would like you to give listeners first a brief overview of the mission and vision of Local First, and then why it's so important for all local economies, and then a little bit about the incredible growth that Local First is experiencing in Arizona in almost every corner of the state with your leadership and your passionate team.
Well, thank you so much. So Local First Arizona is a statewide nonprofit organization working to strengthen Arizona's economy. So we have a lot of different approaches. We work really hard to get consumers to support local independent businesses. We have an entire B2B program, business-to-business support, where we're trying to localize supply chains, and that can include food supply chains. And then we work on policy pieces to make sure that we have a level playing field for the local and independent businesses. So the real premise for the organization is that when you spend your money at a locally owned business, three times more of that money stays and recirculates in the local economy. And that's largely because when you spend at a local business, they're more invested, they're more rooted in your community, and they're more likely to hire other locals like accountants and graphic designers and web developers. And that keeps more dollars recirculating in the local economy. So what we've done, Gina, is we've built the entire network. We are almost 3,000 businesses strong now. We're the largest local business coalition in North America. And we have offices in Phoenix and Tucson and Cottonwood and most recently in Flagstaff. So we are growing and bursting at the seams, and we have a lot of different wonderful programs. I encourage people to look at localfirstaz.com and go under the tab Learn, and you can see all of our economic studies that we've done and get a lot of information about the sustainability aspects of local economies.
And of all things that I think it's easiest to do, like when you were the first person I ever heard speak about Local First, so I joined that night, and simple things like a listener might be saying, like, what? And I say, like, start with local restaurants because everybody eats out. It is the easiest thing to do. There are enough of them. They hire our children and grandchildren as wait staff. They locally source. Their sign company is probably someone else that's locally owned. It's not coming in shipped from corporate. And all of the things that you shared with the audience that first night just made really good economic sense. It wasn't, you know, anything that you had to do that was really going to be tough. But once you start doing it, you start liking it and people start knowing who you are. And the whole community, in my opinion, becomes stronger.
Well, absolutely. You know, there was a study that was done that showed just if everyone in the community, the size of Tucson, if everyone there could link arms and commit to shifting just 10% of their spending from a nationally owned company to a locally owned company, it would create $130 million new dollars recirculating in that community, 1,600 brand new jobs, and $52 million in new local wages just for a 10% shift. And that really gives you perspective on how much consumer spending occurs and then how much of an impact we can make. So this movement really is about empowering communities to create jobs. Too often we turn on the TV and we think somebody else far away is supposed to create jobs or somebody else is going to fix the economy, when in reality we hold the keys, right? We're in the driver's seat and we can absolutely change our behavior and create more jobs and keep more dollars recirculating for things like parks and libraries and fire departments.
And the last time I heard you speak was down at Originates, and you were talking about staycations and how much money is spent in California, and you didn't advocate for no one to cross the border. But again, the math that you used gives an example. If people went for a week in California but spent a week exploring some of the most beautiful places you could ever want to see, it would shift how much money is spent there. So how much do we spend from Arizona alone in California in the summer?
So every year, Arizonans collectively spend $6.5 billion a year vacationing in California. That's with a B, billion. And so one of the goals we have at Local First Arizona is to redirect at least 10% of that into our rural communities and other parts of the state. So we are working on doing weekend getaways and encouraging and promoting exploring the state. Whatever we can do to get people out learning more about Arizona and all of the wonderful things we have here. You know, it's amazing to me how many people moved to, particularly Phoenix, moved to Phoenix years ago, and every year they vacation in California, and you say, well, you really should try Cottonwood, and they say, where's that? You know, and you're thinking, huh. So we have people coming from around the world telling us that Cottonwood is just like Napa was 25 or 30 years ago, and yet the actual people of Arizona aren't going there and being the Johnny Appleseeds. We should be telling everyone that we're growing wines that are winning world-class recognition, and yet we're busy over in California vacationing. So we're just trying to redirect that focus and attention to wine country, to exploring fun little towns where you've never been. I mean, we're in a different part of the state every week, so we're spoiled. But I encourage you to look into it. Follow us on our social media networks, and we'll be talking about different ones. We're going to Sonoyta this next weekend, the 15th, 16th, and 17th. It's a wine getaway. We've got a tour with Todd Bostock from Dos Cabezas Vineyards and Kent Callaghan from Callaghan Vineyards, and wonderful meal plans from Rod Cass, who's coming from Cafe Roca over in Bisbee. And it's just it's a fun time to meet new people and learn about the state at the same time.
And I would be going, except I have to go to L.A., not to swim and spend my vacation, but for my daughter's wedding shower. But as I listen to you, it's other things like we are big fans of Greer. And for people that may not have heard about Greer, it's up in the White Mountains, but east of Pine Top and Lakeside, and it rarely gets above 90 degrees all summer. It's really hot. There's a creek that runs year-round. You can see beaver. You can see deer. You can go fishing. It's really a fabulous place and far less expensive. You know what I mean? You get to be with your kids and your grandkids and actually do things in nature. And I haven't taken anybody there yet who hasn't fallen in love. And many of them have said, I never heard of Greer. So it's places like that, little treasures that we could really make a difference in those little hamlets.
You know, I really credit my parents because they took me out and about and to explore the state at a very young age. So by the time I was 10, I had already visited 10 Arizona lakes. And we used to go to Greer every year growing up. And you're speaking my language. I absolutely love this state. And there isn't a day that goes by that I'm not on some different back road somewhere. And I have to pull over because it's so beautiful. I have to take it all in. So
right. Yes.
I love this state, and I really encourage people to get out and explore.
They'll be really happy. They'll be calling us and thanking us. Mrs. Green, thank you. Kimber Lanning, thank you. Because we wouldn't be saying it enthusiastically if we didn't mean it. And it is greener because you're not using as much fuel. I mean, there are many good aspects of it. You find unbelievably great locally owned restaurants, local food. I just can go on and on. But let's talk about, I said I wasn't going to talk a lot, the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies that's going to be in Phoenix, which is exciting in and of itself, from June 10th to the 12th next month. What is BALI?
So BALI is a national organization that is really working on nothing short of the emergence of a new economy. We have a system in America that has 1 in 7 Americans is now on food stamps and assistance. We have major corporations, paying unlivable wages and passing health care off onto the backs of the taxpayers, the health care of their employees. We have an inequity that we have not seen in this country. And so BALI is a gathering of thought leaders who are working on everything from energy to new forms of finance to rethinking land use policy and everything that we have done in the last 20 years that has created inequity. We are trying to create equity that creates prosperity for all. Systems simply don't work if only 1% are thriving, and we really need to find ways to create a lot more prosperity. And I will share with you, you may have some listeners right now who are middle class or even upper middle class who think that they are thriving. But if you look at a chart that shows how America was thriving all the way up into the 70s and 80s, compared to cost of living where we are now, we are not thriving. And we are working harder for less money. And there are people who simply are not making it at all. My point, again, 1 in 7 Americans on food stamps. We need to find better systems. And this conference has, it'll be about 600 people from around the country and around Arizona as well, who come together to come up with solutions, to share best practices, to really think about what it means to build an economy that has equity and creates prosperity. We value one another, and we believe that business can be for good. And I encourage everybody to go to the website, bealocalist.org. The conference information is right there on the homepage, and it's an absolutely wonderful, transformative experience.
And I have to chuckle a little bit. When I wrote my book, my editor came back to me and said, I think you have to describe what a localist is, because you talk a lot about that in your book, Gina, but not all of us, this is a person who lives in Arizona, not all of us know what a localist is. So I went online and got the perfect definition for a localist. And to me, it's a mindset. It's a way of going out each day when you are going to spend money and decide whether you're going invested in your neighbors and in your community and your police department and your fire department and your schools, or if you're going to give it to a large corporation that has its own structure it needs to support. I'm not bashing that, but it's a very different kind of mindset to, the easiest for me, as I said, is eating out. And the next easiest is when I'm buying presents for people. You don't ever really to go to a big box store because there are adorable, artsy, creative, well-made opportunities in stores all over Tucson and Phoenix and Prescott, Flagstaff. Just look for that local treasure. It makes a difference.
It really makes a difference. And sometimes people feel like, oh, I don't spend that much, what difference could it make? And I will share with you, it makes a huge difference.
Every time.
When we were doing the Shift the Way You Shop campaign and right. simply encouraging people to shift their money, all of us together, there were $62 million pledged on our website for people shifting their spending. You can do it, you know, and we can do this together. We can link arms and make enormous differences. And it can be getting your oil changed. It can be getting your hair cut. It can be choosing Hickman's eggs in the grocery store. These are all simple things that people can do that keep more money and more jobs right here at home.
Local bakeries. I mean, the beat goes on. The beat just goes on and on and on. I want to ask you, go ahead.
Oh, let me just add really quickly, if some people might be confused that maybe they think in their minds, well, you're creating jobs here, but aren't you eliminating jobs somewhere else? So I'll explain really quickly. You could have 30,000 Starbucks locations around the country, and they're still only going to have one accountant and one graphic designer and right. one web developer. If you have 30,000 independent coffee shops, there's 30,000 accountants have a client, 30,000 web developers had a gig, 30,000 graphic designers. So my point is, the model is to create prosperity across a broad spectrum, not just siphon it out for the few.
I'm so glad you made that analogy. It's talks about how it spreads it out, and you just don't think about, like, what difference does it make if I go to, I don't want to badmouth, you know, big stores, but if I go to Staples
sure.
versus Cartridge World for my ink cartridges, well, it makes a big mm-hmm. difference. And that's not even a perfect example because they are a franchise, but they are in the middle of the locally owned business spectrum, I think. And you take it originates, they're the whole deal. I mean, they're locally owned. There are so many that I can think of. I want to ask.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you're absolutely right. It's not as hard as people think.
You know, one of the questions, it might be, it's kind of esoteric, but I want to get to the meaning that I would love you to explain. I've heard a lot of people, their description of the conference and how amazing it is. But more importantly, what I've heard through their conversation, that it's not just a feel-good conference and everybody hugs and says goodbye, you know, kumbaya, but an experience that continues to have an impact on your life if you attend. Can you expand on that for a little bit? Do you agree with that?
I do. So I went through the Bali Fellowship, and as you mentioned earlier, I serve on the Bali board. And what we're really trying to do here is create a network of people that can rely on each other. This is hard work. And you do hard work as well. Anyone that's working to change systems is really sometimes feels like they're out there battling on their own. People sometimes say to me, oh, you're never going to make a difference. And I know that I will. And sometimes you have to lean on a friend's shoulder when you're really just worn out because there are so many systems in place that are working against us. And what's even more frustrating is how many people don't understand the issues and end up voting in their own disinterest. And so what Bali is doing is creating a network of people that count on each other, that can share ideas and resources. I know right now if I needed counsel around a certain issue, I could get 5 leaders from around the country on the phone tomorrow if that's what I needed, because people care about each other and they recognize it's hard work. And so I encourage anyone who is interested in systems change to come to this conference and get rejuvenated with other people who are doing similar work, and they're working absolutely as hard as you are, and they know what it takes, and they'll be there when you're down and out.
And they've
absolutely.
Done it. They've done it.
Mm-hmm.
They've done
mm-hmm.
it. I mean, when I looked on the website, all I could have just closed it out after I saw that Van Jones is going to be there. So,
I know. Van Jones is brilliant.
Yes, he is. And you can be sure I will be stalking him and then get him, like, when he's coming out of the men's room saying, Van Jones, would you be on my radio show? I'll do it very politely, though. And Joel.
That's good.
Joel Saladin, he's one of the preeminent farmers, brilliant. I look at his TED Talks. This man has it all going on. I mean, I'd go just to hear him.
You know, I was in Louisville this year at the Slow Money Conference, and he was a keynote speaker there, and he brought us to our feet. We were so excited with what he had to say about carbon in soil and rethinking the way farmers use their land so that it's replenished and renourished. We simply cannot continue to farm the way we have. You know, industrial agriculture is destroying the land. It never gets renewed. It never has time to breathe. And so the food that it's producing is less and less nutritious. So listening to him talk about his plans for rejuvenating the soil and therefore keeping the nutrients in the things we grow, it's inspiring, it's heartwarming, and it's and he's funny to boot.
I can't wait. I mean, I really can't wait. I will be seeing him. And I want to ask you on that note, I just went to the Social Venture Network conference in San Diego a couple of weeks ago, which was transformative, without a doubt. And a lot of the, not a lot, but many of the plenary sessions were really incorporating the whole idea of social justice, a just and livable wage. I mean, it's a very hot topic in this country right now. Are there going to be some sessions around that? Because if you don't have equity and equal pay and opportunities for smaller businesses to borrow money, it's the big dogs just keep getting bigger. So is that going to be some of the content?
Absolutely. The world of finance, access to capital, social venture partners is not at this conference, but is highly motivated. Yeah, highly represented. There are different, you know, what's really amazing to me is the community foundations are starting to get really involved in place-based impact investing. The community foundations around the country, they hold $1 trillion that largely in the past has been sitting in one of the big three banks while they wait to give out grants and other things that they do. What if they took that money, at least some of it, and invested it in socially conscious companies where they could actually earn revenue as opposed to having it sit there earning revenue for a big bank that's invested mostly in other countries? So the community foundations have really been coming to the Bali conference and having advanced conversations about how they could bend the rules, not bend the rules, change the rules and do things differently so that they're more productive for our society.
That's what I love when I get to hear you speak or present. I love numbers. I'm one of those people that likes to let facts get in the way and they are absorbed. So those numbers are so real. And like our we are in wildcat country down here. And I love that Sean Miller has aligned himself with a credit union. He's like, he's doing, I'm sure he's being adequately compensated, but the message is very clear. He's supporting locally owned businesses. I mean, he's a great guy, and he could have done it for, you know, another one of the big banks that gives generously to the U of A as well. So I have two more questions, which we're probably going to get finished with. We'll get through them, and then I want to ask you if you have anything I haven't covered. But It seems to me that in terms of spreading solutions, that Bali has figured out what works. What might be considered their unique view? What are they doing that makes 200 people come and then 300 and then 400 and then 600? It's a successful formula. So do you have some insights to share with us about why it is so successful and continues to be?
Well, for one thing, I think there's a few different reasons and it's a million points of light. On the positive side, the movement is about empowering people. And so when they recognize, wait a minute, I'm spending my money with companies that don't actually support me. My money should be an investment, not just an exchange, a temporary exchange. How is this going to impact me and my future and my family's future? And, you know, I think that really resonates with people when they take a more holistic approach to their spending. Secondly, it's doable. These are actionable items. This isn't a politician making promises about creating jobs.
Right.
This is what we can do here now. And I think finally, it's the negative of what they're doing is simply not working. What the other side is doing, there's no trickle down happening here. What the other side is doing is not working.
It's
not siphoning money out of our communities. And so therefore, People are, they're looking for something that works. And we're here. We've got a proven track record. It's doable. It's a positive thing you can do. And guess what? When you do business with people you know, you feel a lot better about your place, your community, and your role in it. And now there's studies coming out that show. There's a great study that came out called Soul of the Community by the Knight Foundation. And it showed connection to place is the single most leading indicator in places that have prosperity. They found that when people love their community, they're more likely to vote, they're more likely to volunteer, to give charitably. And we can show that local business is a key reason people love their place. You have your friends visiting from out of town, you want to take them to the best local restaurant, the best local coffee shop. You don't say, hey, let's go to this big chain. You've probably never heard of it. You're going to take them to the best flavor of your community. And so we know we're onto something that really works.
And things happen that I don't care who you are, it feels good. Like we have Carter and Olivia Reese in this week. They are started a nonprofit called One More Generation and have received international, national awards. They are 12 and 14 and have filmed something on the devastation of rhinos, and we took them to Renee's Organic Oven. Of course we did, because they had read about it on Mrs. Green's Facebook, and it was, and of course Renee gives you a big hug and says hi, so it's like I start singing Cheers, which dates me, so I don't do that anymore. What I would like to ask you, Kimber Lanning, what are some of the parts of the conference that are exceptionally exciting and meaningful for you?
You know, that's a great question, because I try to spread myself from the most advanced while not forgetting that we have newbies. So I've actually volunteered to teach a local economies 101 class, and that's going to be people who are new to the movement, who are still looking for, well, how do I talk about this? Maybe I understand it, but how do I get other people on board? So I'm going to be teaching that class, which I'm very excited about, but I'm also really excited about attending the Impact Investing. There's a community capital session that will be great. We also have a tour that I'm going to be hosting that's going to focus on the adaptive reuse buildings in downtown Phoenix. So how do we get more businesses opened up in old buildings? And then, of course, Van Jones and Joel Salatin, both of them, I'm really looking forward to their talks as well. So there's a variety of things. I'm excited. We're doing a bike tour on Tuesday night using the new bike share program we have in Phoenix. So come early and we'll show you all around town. A lot of people don't realize, I think, especially in Tucson. Tucson, I think, never comes to Phoenix, and therefore they think they know what it's like here, and really they don't. So if you could come and come on downtown, we'll show you around. You'll be pleasantly surprised.
Very pleasantly surprised. I mean, I'm a Tucsonan, and I love to go up there, and I was meeting with, Kimberly Clements, who owns Golden Eagle, yesterday, uh-huh. And we were just talking about how fun Phoenix is, and there are so many great restaurants where you can go and sit outside. There's just great life force there. So another question I hope is a really good question. What advice would you give to first-time attendees who really want to maximize their experience at Bali? And we have 2 minutes left, and I'd like to, shout out some websites and how they find out about you. So what's your answer to that? Go to everything.
Sit down ahead of time and plan what you want to do.
Right.
There are mentor sessions. People who have been in this movement for 15 years who are signing up to be mentors, get on their schedule. They are setting aside an hour here, an hour there, and you can actually make an appointment. Sit down one-on-one with some of the leaders and talk to them about what they've learned. What books should I be reading? How do I get involved? So visit the website. We're also, as hosts, going to be sending out information about where to go to maximize your experience while you're here. Read through that and just be on top of your game before you even get here. And plan to be as open-minded as possible. Bring yourself a reusable water bottle and maybe even an umbrella, and you'll be good to go.
It's great. I am so excited. I can't stand it. And you know me. I really mean that. The website is bealocalist.org/2000-Bali-conference. And everybody, you can email Gina at Mrs. Green's World if you're driving and you can't get this. There's a very active Facebook page. Be a Localist is the name of it. Twitter, B be a localist. So it's really an international message to me that you can just hashtag be a localist, because that's for wherever you live. Kimber Lanning, thanks for what you do for the planet, for the state, for all of us. And thank you for being a part of my world. Everybody, make it a great green week. And look at our schedule for what's coming up, because I ran out of time.